Well, good morning, everyone.
Welcome to Lutheran Church of Hope. My name is Justin Stofa. I'm on staff here at Hope as our Connections Coordinator. And today we are going to wrap up part three of our three-week series titled Getting to Know God. Over the past few weeks, we've been looking at the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ. And today we're going to look at God as we know him through the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to take a look at this today. And each one of these weeks that we've been going through the Trinity, we've also been reading the portion of the Apostles' Creed that coincides with it. You may have remembered 2 weeks ago, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Week two, we've talked about the second article. I believe in God's one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that he was crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. And today, we're going to read through the third article. And so I'm going to put it up on the screen. But before we read through it together, I want to make sure that we're all on the same page with what the Apostles' Creed is. You see, the Bible, Scripture, is God's word to us. It's his promises. It's his revelations. It's him revealing himself, his identity, to us. The Creed is then our word back to God. It's our response. For example, in Scripture, we read in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." And so our response to that is, I believe in God's one and only Son. And so today we're going to look at the third article. I believe in the Holy Spirit. It's going to be up on the screens behind me. So let's read it together. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Now, you may not know this about me, but I grew up in the Catholic Church. Not as the Catholic Church, as this points out. This is a small c Catholic. The word Catholic in the Creed is from a Greek word meaning of the whole. So the whole church, all the believers all around the world is what we're saying when we say the Catholic Church in the Creed. I grew up Roman Catholic, and I grew up in the church. And if you've ever been to a Catholic Mass, you know that each week this Creed is recited. So literally hundreds and hundreds of times, these words have come out of my mouth. I've proclaimed these beliefs. But it wasn't until later on in my life that I started to really think through, do I believe what these words say? I've said them a number of times, but am I convicted? Am I fully believing what I'm proclaiming? Paul talks about this in Romans, in the letter that he wrote to the Roman church. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, then you're saved. So there's two aspects of this. The first is proclamation. That's very important that we proclaim this belief. But secondary, it's do you believe it in your heart? And so we can read these words, but just reading them alone doesn't mean that we actually believe them. We need to look and discover in our own heart, do we believe what it says? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? That's what we're going to talk about today. Because sometimes the Holy Spirit can be this great mystery. And I want to talk to make sure that we're all on the same page. It's hard to believe in something if you don't know much about the Holy Spirit. So first off, what we need to know about the Holy Spirit is this math problem. I know it's early, but this is an illustration. The Holy Spirit is an equal part of the Trinity. 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. Now, if you didn't like math before, it doesn't get any easier this early in the morning. But I'm not trying to fully explain the Trinity. The point I want to make is that God the Father plus the Son plus the Holy Spirit are all equally combined to make one God. It's not first is God the Father, then Jesus his Son, and then maybe if we remember the Holy Spirit possibly too. And no, all three are equally important when it comes to getting to know God. If we really want to get to know God for who he truly is, it's important that we know him in all three of these aspects. And there's no better place to look than Scripture. And we might as well start right in the beginning. Maybe you've heard these words before. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In verse 2, it says, the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the earth. Right from the very beginning, God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, was present in creation. If you read a few verses later, in 26, it says, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. Now, if you were here last week or you've ever read the first chapter of John's Gospel, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh." The Word is Jesus. So in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. And so this verse in Genesis reveals to us that God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, was present. Jesus was present, and the Holy Spirit was present. So right from the beginning, when God says, "Let us make human beings in our image," he's referring to us as in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right from the beginning, the Holy Spirit has been present in this world. Fast forward a little farther, the Old Testament. Maybe you've heard the story of David, David and Goliath, King David. Before he ever becomes king or ever faces Goliath, he's called to be with his dad and his brothers. And there's a man, a prophet named Samuel, who comes, and it says this in 1 Samuel 16. "So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David." The Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, was present in the Old Testament, was present in people not only like David, but a number of prophets and people that we read about in the Old Testament. Fast forward a little farther, the beginning of the New Testament. It's in Luke chapter 1. The Virgin Mary is meeting an encounter with an angel. And the angel looks at Mary and says, "The Holy Spirit will come, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God." It's the Holy Spirit that comes and breathes life into Mary, that breathes life, that conceives Jesus. The Holy Spirit has incredible power, power to give life, physical life. The Holy Spirit was present right from the beginning of Jesus' life. 3 decades later, Jesus is baptized, and he's full of the Holy Spirit, and he goes out into the wilderness, into the desert, to be tempted by the devil for 40 days. And as he's coming back out of the wilderness and about to enter ministry, it says this: Jesus returned to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Jesus was full of the Spirit's power. Now, I want to pause right here for a second, because it's easy to hear this, but to just let it go in one ear and out the other. The Holy Spirit has incredible power, and I want to give you an illustration. It involves a story. So about 8 or 9 months ago, last fall, the student ministry here at Hope reached out to me and said, "Hey, Justin, would you ever be interested in coming to Power Life on a Wednesday to teach our confirmation students, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, junior high students?" So they sent me the date, and I looked at my calendar, and I said, "Well, sure, absolutely, I'd love to teach." And then I realized I should probably follow it up with, "Oh, and what is it that I'm supposed to be teaching these junior high kids?" And she said, "Oh, it's a good one. It's who is the Holy Spirit?" And so I'm sitting at my desk, and I'm thinking, okay, when I was in junior high, I don't know if I could sit still long enough to really think and listen and ponder upon who the Holy Spirit was. And so I'm trying to think, how can I teach junior high kids the power of the Holy Spirit? And so I did what I do when I need to take a break. I just pause. I'm sitting at my desk, and I'm praying. I'm thinking, I need to take a break. So I stopped what I was doing. I reached into my desk drawer, and I pulled out this, my remote control car. Every boy needs a remote control car. Full disclosure on this story, I got this as a Christmas gift at a White Elephant gift exchange. Our adult ministry team got together, and I was the lucky winner of the remote control car. Even more full disclosure, I was the one who went to Dollar Tree, spent $5, and bought the car to bring as a gift with the hopes that I could get it back, and I did. It's a little look into my life. And so here I am sitting in Cubbyland, and I've got my car, and I'm cutting 360s around, and I'm thinking, "Lord, help me. How can I explain the Holy Spirit?" And all of a sudden it hits me. This could work. This might be the perfect illustration. You see, this awesome neon green car with the cool flames on the back, this is Jesus. This is Jesus. Jesus is here on the earth, and he's ready to do all sorts of amazing things. This remote, this is God the Father, who is in heaven giving direction. Jesus often said, "Father, not my will be done, but yours." And so here's God who can see the big picture, giving direction for the life. But if you try to just use the remote in the car, it doesn't work. You see, there's a third component, and maybe you're already ahead of me on this, but without the battery, without the power in the car, these two things don't work together. But when you put the battery in the car, all of a sudden, some cool things start to take place. Now, I may not be able to work here anymore after I do this, but I'm going to try it anyway. The power of the Holy Spirit is real. And when these three work together, when God the Father can communicate with the Son and the Spirit is there, all of a sudden you can do sweet tricks like, you don't want to miss this. Make sure you're paying attention. This is a really, this will probably be the most underwhelming thing you've ever seen. This is exclusive to 745. You won't get this at any of the other services, I promise. Is the anticipation building yet? Here we go. That's it. That's the whole thing. Yep, praise God for that, right? This is yet another reminder that we don't take ourselves too seriously at all here at Hope. But we take God very seriously. Because what he has to say is incredibly important. And what he says is this. In Romans 8, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Let me say that again. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Now, there's two parts of this scripture that are really important. The first half, the Spirit of God had so much power that it could breathe life, not only to the conception of Jesus, but once he had died. Here's Jesus laying in the tomb, lifeless. Jesus didn't just snap out of it. God's Spirit came, breathed life into him, and that power raised him from the dead. And the second part of this is even more incredible. That same Spirit lives in you. Lives in me. Imagine that we are a remote control car and we've got the same battery. That same power lives in us. It allows us to communicate with God. Allows us to do the will that he has for us. It allows us to say the words that he would have us say, just like Jesus. That same power lives in us. And we don't just have to take Paul's word for it in the letter to Romans. Jesus said this himself. As he was talking to the apostles, to the disciples, right before he was to be crucified, he said, "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Two things here. The Holy Spirit will come and will teach you all things and will also remind you of what I said. That's true in our life, isn't it? Sometimes we need to be taught new things. There's brand new revelations that we receive. There's new teachings. There's a new path that we're on. But more often than not, we just need reminded of what we already know. For example, there was a time in your life, I hope that time has come and gone, where you didn't know how to tie your shoes. Someone had to sit down and teach you how to tie your shoes. You didn't know. But there came a time where you learned how to tie your shoes, and then you just need reminded. Hey, if you're going to go outside, you need to tie your shoes. Make sure you tie your shoes because you don't want to fall. The Holy Spirit works in the same way in our lives. There are times when we need to be taught something new. A way that's going to help us live life a better way. There's other times when we just need reminded of God's truth. We need reminded of his love, of his promises. And so Jesus promised that he would send the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, because he is a man of his word, follows through. Fast forward a little farther. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven. You heard it read, you saw. Wasn't that a beautiful illustration of God being proclaimed, of the wonders and the marvelous things that he was doing, proclaimed in all sorts of different languages. Pentecost is a Greek word that means 50 days. 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus, God sends his Holy Spirit. And amazing things start to take place. And each year, around this same time, 50 days after Easter, we celebrate Pentecost because it's the birth of the church. It's the start of this new movement. And the Holy Spirit fills the apostles and the disciples. But we don't just celebrate and remember what had happened. We celebrate because the Pentecost is still happening right here today. West Des Moines, Iowa, 2014. God's still pouring out his Holy Spirit in amazing, marvelous ways. If you've ever taken the Alpha course, maybe you've had this experience. About 3/4 of the way through the class, we have what's called the Holy Spirit retreat. They spend a weekend going through the question, who is the Holy Spirit? And then there's a whole weekend devoted to receiving and pondering and reflecting upon who the Holy Spirit is and receiving God's Holy Spirit. And there's a few people here at Hope who had some incredible stories, and they wanted to share with you as well. So take a look at this Hope story about the Holy Spirit.
In 2006, I was diagnosed with cancer, and I was searching for something, anything.
I was someone who worried a lot. I worried about the things that I couldn't control.
Well, my husband Blake and I were really looking forward to the Holy Spirit retreat at Alpha.
You hear all these great stories about what happens at Alpha.
It took pushing from my boss at the time to come to Hope and to test Alpha out. So what I did was I went to the Holy Spirit retreat.
Not quite sure how you receive the Holy Spirit.
I just prayed to the Holy Spirit, you know, fill me up. I just felt a rush of warmth, almost like someone was holding me and hugging me. And
I had two people praying for me, and they laid their hands on me. I felt this sense of just a sense of warmth coming from my feet all the way to my fingertips.
I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, I made that up in my mind, you know what happened there.
And I just started feeling just weightless. I'm being picked up and kind of being hugged. I just didn't want it to stop. We hadn't really talked during prayer time. We were walking back to our small group, and I couldn't wait to talk to him about it. And so I said, hey, did you feel anything? And he was like, well, kind of, I think so. And I couldn't wait to tell him. I was like, I felt like I was lifted up and hugged.
And at that moment, I realized that, you know, I needed to get out of my own way. God was trying to tell me, you know, it wasn't in your head. It wasn't, you know, something that you were making up. I'm here. I'm real.
And he was like, that's exactly what I felt too. I was just speechless. I just couldn't believe that he felt the exact same thing that I did.
The Holy Spirit and God gets a hold of you, and you don't know when or how or why it happens. He just does. But once you experience that fulfillment, you don't ever want to go back.
I can still remember the way that it feels right now, and I don't ever want to forget that feeling.
I still look back on it, it's like it just felt so comfortable and so familiar.
The Lord took away all of my worries that day, and the relationship that I've been able to build with the Lord. I've always gone to church my entire life, but I never had that personal relationship with the Lord. And after the Holy Spirit retreat, I now can see him working in my life.
Being diagnosed with cancer at 28, you look around at your life and you think, there has to be more than this. There has to be. I think it took the cancer diagnosis to get me to realize that God is really what I needed in my life. Instead of turning to what I knew to suppress the pain, I actually turned to God. And that made my relationship with him grow so much deeper. In the valleys, turn to God, and he'll walk right next to you through them. And that's what he did with me, and I'm forever grateful.
The Holy Spirit still shows up today. The same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead, who was poured out during the Pentecost, lives and breathes right here in our church family. Now, what's important to remember is that not everybody's story is the same. And maybe you're sitting there thinking, okay, some of this makes sense. I understand that the Holy Spirit's part of the Trinity. I can handle that. I believe that he lived in Jesus, that he helped Jesus proclaim the good news, that he was able to have power to perform miracles. I believe that the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost. In fact, I believe these wonderful people up on the screen, I believe that the Holy Spirit's power resides in them. But I'm not sure if I can tell if the Spirit lives in me. How do I know? How do I know? Maybe you haven't had an experience similar to this. But it's not just a one-time experience. It's an ongoing relationship. The first time that you realize the Spirit's presence is so powerful and it's so important. But it's that continual walk with God that he longs for, that relationship. And so I want to share one last illustration with you. Paul says in Galatians 5:16, "Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature desires." Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Think back to when I was at Power Life teaching the confirmation kids. I said, the Holy Spirit is a lot like a GPS system. You know, you punch in where you want to go and it calculates what path you need to take. Well, in this case, we're gonna type in that we want to get closer to God. We want to grow in a more intimate relationship with him. We want to grow deeper in our relationship with God. So we type in God's address. And this is what I think is so fascinating. The GPS system, the Holy Spirit, calculates where we need to go according to where we are right now. I'll say that again. It coordinates where we need to go with where we are right now. Now, you are not in the same place as everybody else in this room. We are all coming from different places, different backgrounds, different upbringings, different current life situations, different ages, different understandings. We are all coming from different places. So sometimes our paths don't look the same as other people's. This can be a hang-up sometimes. We see someone and we say, "That looks like they're on the right path, but I'm not on that path, so I don't know if I'm on the right track." The truth is, God's got us on our own unique path. So we type in the address to get towards God, and it pulls up the GPS, and it says, "Okay, take 10 blocks, go ahead, and then go right." So in our life, we go 10 blocks ahead, and if we're being honest, sometimes we go left. Either we didn't hear that it was to go right, we weren't paying attention, or we just stubbornly chose to go the opposite way. And so we choose to go the opposite way that God had first told us. And now sometimes you would think, well, the GPS doesn't say abort mission, you failed, you lost, it's over, you had your chance, you were on the path, now you're off, you're falling behind, everybody else is ahead. No, the GPS simply says, recalculating. You see, because the same way that the new path is created is the same way that God works in us. Sometimes we go left when we're supposed to go right. That doesn't mean we're off the path. It just means God's saying, okay, let's go on an adventure. There might be a couple U-turns up ahead. You might have to take a new exit. But I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I am always with you, and I'm always trying to draw you back closer to me. Now, this series of wrong turns can go on occasionally, can happen day after day, can happen week after week, can go on for months, for years. Sometimes we can spend decades going the wrong direction, either not hearing God's voice or not really caring what he has to say. But that doesn't mean that God isn't still trying to draw us back to him. Now, you might be sitting there just saying, well, how do I know that right's right and left's wrong? How do I know left's not right and right's not wrong? How do I know which way is right? How do I know if I'm on the right path? You see, it's hard to know what God is going to say in your life if you don't know what he's already said. It's hard to know what he wants you to do if you don't know what he's already done. So the question is raised for all of us. Do you know what he said? Do you know what he's done? Not out of guilt or shame do I ask that question, but out of mutual encouragement. Are we spending time listening for God's voice? Maybe that's quiet time. Maybe that's reading scripture. Maybe that's here in worship. Are we listening for God's direction? So say you get the directions right and you say, I hear God telling me to go right. So I'm going right. How do I know? How can I know for sure that I'm on the right path? The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you've ever experienced even one of these things, that's the Spirit at work in your life. If you have love in your heart, if you have joy, that's God's Spirit. You're on the right path. And so as we go out this week, I'd encourage you, spend time listening for God's direction. Trust that he is never going to abandon you. And even if you make a wrong turn, he'll simply recalculate. You'll still be right on track and he'll still call you back to him. And it's when these things are present that we have the most full life that we could ever imagine. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Holy Spirit is real. He's present. He always has been. The Holy Spirit has power. And most importantly, the Spirit lives in you and lives in me. And we can encourage one another in this. So go this week knowing that you are filled with the Holy Spirit and that He is most certainly guiding your life. Amen.